Verses for the day. We'll start off with John 10, 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them all along also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why do we listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of someone possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now we'll read from Luke 15, 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I'm really looking forward to Chris Ann's message here today. Thank you very much.
The Good Shepherd. For those of us who grew up going to Sunday school, this is a phrase and an image that is very familiar. I can still see in my mind the flannel graph characters from Vacation Bible School. Jesus gently carrying a little lamb on his shoulders and the green pasture and the gentle stream beside him. But as I reflected on these scriptures this week, some new thoughts came to me, some challenging thoughts that stretched me in my thinking and my praying. So in the sermon today, I'm going to have us take a look at six qualities of the Good Shepherd that Jesus sort of lays out in these passages. And I invite you to notice which one or which ones stand out to you. The first is this: the Good Shepherd lays down his life freely of his own will for the sheep. Jesus says this in verse 11, in verse 15, in verse 17, in verse 18. He repeats it at least four times. It's central to who Jesus is and to what he is about. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. To Jesus, good shepherding is about sacrifice. It's about putting others before self. Good shepherding is self-giving love. Sometimes it's easy to take these words for granted, again, probably mostly for those of us who have grown up going to church. Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. We know this in our minds. But perhaps we miss the depth and the breadth of what Jesus is saying here. Let it really sink in. The most powerful creator and sustainer of all life, when his magnificent creation rebelled and destroyed so much of the beauty he created, and still destroys it to this day, he chose to give up glory, to come and dwell among us, and then to suffer at our hands and die, so that we could have abundant, joyous, eternal life. He chose us. He chose love. Amazing love. How can it be that Jesus, my King, would die for me? He laid down his life literally on the cross, yes, but he also laid down his life in so many other ways. He laid aside power and glory to dwell among us. He laid aside time for people, all kinds of people, young and old, men and women, Jews and Samaritans and Romans, healthy and diseased, rich and poor. He laid aside selfishness for compassion. He laid aside temporary political power for eternal goals. He laid aside the praise of crowds. He laid aside comfort. He laid bare his heart for all to see. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, for their best, for their healing, for their belonging, for their flourishing, for you and for me. The second quality of a good shepherd, he will not abandon the sheep. Fascinating to learn this week that a shepherd was a common term for kings and leaders in the Old Testament. It was actually used a lot in the common language. The prophets called out bad shepherds for leading out of self-interest for personal gain in unjust and unkind ways. I actually want to read for you verses from Ezekiel 34. So this is from the Old Testament. "The word of the Lord came to me," Ezekiel says. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains, on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." And he goes on to say more about the bad shepherds and to criticize their leadership of the flock. But then he says this, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself, says the Lord, will tend my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Wow, if that isn't the exact opposite of what we hear from the mouth of Jesus, the bad shepherds are the exact opposite of what Jesus says about the good shepherd in these passages this morning. And isn't it interesting that the Lord told Ezekiel, "I myself will shepherd my sheep," and then Jesus comes to shepherd the flock. Some biblical scholars believe that Jesus had that exact passage from Ezekiel in mind when he spoke about being the good shepherd. Bad shepherds take care of themselves. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Bad shepherds allow the wounded to suffer. The good shepherd heals the wounded. Bad shepherds don't go after the lost. The good shepherd seeks and saves them. Bad shepherds allow the sheep to scatter, but the good shepherd knows his sheep and leads his flock well. The bad shepherds of Ezekiel 34 are perhaps exactly what Jesus had in mind when he spoke of the hired hand who would desert the sheep in times of danger, act out of self-interest rather than for the good of the sheep. Sometimes we joke about how dumb sheep are. Have you heard those jokes? Don't be like a dumb sheep. But in my experience, animals, I don't know sheep that well, but animals in general are pretty smart about sensing fear from people or aggression. So I wonder if sheep can sense when a shepherd really cares for them versus when they are only in it for themselves. I wonder if they can sense when someone is ready to give up when times get tough or abandon them in times of danger. But in contrast, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, leads us well and will not ever abandon us. His deepest desire is that we would have abundant life. He will lay down his life to that end. The third quality of the good shepherd is that he knows his sheep well, and his sheep know him. Jesus knows his sheep, each one of them, and they know his voice. Now, this knowing is about so much more than facts, isn't it? Which sheep is brown and which is white, which is spotted, which is not, which is young or old, which is a ram, which is a ewe. The knowing that Jesus has in mind here is about more than that. It's about relationship. I knew some things about John before we were dating. I knew him as a friend. I knew him better when we began dating, his personality and temperament, his likes and dislikes. But even that pales in comparison to the way I know him now after 21 years of marriage. I know him, and he knows me. He can guess how I react when I feel like I've been unfairly treated. In other words, don't poke the bear. And I can guess pretty well how he'll react when his job gets particularly stressful. In order to provide for and protect his sheep, a good shepherd gets to know them, their temperament, their behavior, what fields they especially like to graze, which streams they especially enjoy, where they like to rest, which hills are too challenging for them to climb. He knows when the ewes are about to give birth and when the lambs need special care. So too with our good shepherd. He knows what we need. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows when we're wounded. He knows when we need rest. He knows when what we have to give is especially needed in the flock and in the world. Good sheep also learn to know their shepherd. They learn his movements, his favorite places to lead them, his touch, and how he tends to them. They find comfort in his familiar ways when he is a good provider and protector. They learn to trust him and lean on him in times of trouble or danger. We know our good shepherd. Hopefully we know our good shepherd well. Are we growing to trust him more and more? Are we getting beyond facts about our good shepherd into a deep and intimate relationship? Do we recognize the sound of his voice above all the others in our life? Do we recognize how he's caring for us? If we want to follow our shepherd closely and be led by him, we would do well to nurture that intimacy. We can collect a lot of information about Jesus. It's different to build an intimate knowing between us. The next quality of a good shepherd, he brings in outsiders who also hear his voice. A good shepherd grows his flock, not only through breeding, but also by bringing in new sheep. Genetic diversity builds a stronger flock, right? Too much inbreeding in a small herd leads to sickness and weakness. It seems that Jesus is also concerned for the vibrancy and the viability of his flock. As a good shepherd, he's tending to sheep outside the fold as much as inside. He knows that there are people all over the world longing for his good news, and so he will continue seeking those sheep who hear his voice and bringing them in to the fold. This is for their good, of course. Of course, it's better for the lost to be brought home, for their healing and their flourishing, but it's also for our good. As Jesus gathers others and brings them home to us, they enrich our life. We are blessed by their gifts and their stories. Perhaps they know the Good Shepherd in ways we have not experienced. Perhaps they know more sheep who Jesus could bring into the fold. Jesus pursues and seeks and saves the lost, and we can trust his wisdom and his work in doing that. Notice that it's not our job. It's not the sheep's job to seek and save the lost. We watch and we wait and we rejoice when Jesus brings the lost home. That's his job. It's our job to rejoice. In our journeys, if we do come across those who haven't met the Good Shepherd yet, we can point them to him, certainly. We get to share our experience of the Good Shepherd, but we're not the rescuer. And we can get into trouble when we try to do the rescuing ourselves, right? We're clumsy rescuers. Sometimes we end up in trouble right there with the people we thought we could rescue. Sometimes the people we want to rescue end up depending on us to be their Good Shepherd instead of depending on the Good Shepherd himself, Jesus. But the Good Shepherd knows how to bring new sheep into the fold. He knows how to care for them and heal them and lead them. Now, this was disturbing to the Pharisees, that Jesus would bring in outsiders into the family of God. To belong to God was to be Jewish, period. But before we judge them too harshly, let's remember how easy it is for us to carry that same attitude. Not that long ago, to be a good Mennonite meant certain things. No radio, TV, no wedding bands, prayer coverings for all the women, no dancing, no alcohol, and the list could go on and on. And if someone wanted to join our congregation, our flock, they needed to abide by these things. They needed to become one of us before we received them into the fold. But that's in contrast to the way Jesus welcomed people in the Gospels, and it scandalized the good Jewish folk. He talked to and ate with and spent considerable time with people who were sinners and outcasts. His group of closest disciples included men that the Pharisees probably would have rejected outright. And if we knew them, we ourselves might have had questions about Jesus' choices. But this is another reason it's good for us to release our control over the flock and allow Jesus to be the seeker and the finder of the lost. It is good for us to be the sheep, to know our place, and to point people to him, to the one true Good Shepherd, and allow him to draw them home. The parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15 mentions the shepherd leaving the 99 to find the lost one. How many of you had a picture in your head of him leaving the 99 safe inside their sheep pen, you know, with the fence around them? Yes, I'm not the only one, right? I was shocked to take a closer look at this parable this week and realize that it says he left them in the wilderness. He left the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one. That's shocking. They're out there exposed while he goes searching for the lost. But here's the invitation. The Good Shepherd knows what he's doing. As the sheep, we may not be aware of exactly when we're safe and when we're in danger, but the Good Shepherd knows. And remember, he will never abandon us. The Good Shepherd never abandons us. He knows us intimately, and he is always ready to lay down his life for us so we can trust him, even if it seems he's left us in the wilderness to go after the lost one. He's the shepherd. He loves us. He knows us. He loves the lost ones. He knows what they need. So again, the invitation is to surrender control and learn to trust him more and more. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. The next quality of the Good Shepherd is that he rejoices. Rejoicing is part of good shepherding. Imagine that. The joy of seeing the growth of the flock, both in number and in maturity. And this is joy that our Good Shepherd invites us to share with him, if we're willing. As we are led under his shepherding care, he invites us to rejoice. As we learn to go where he leads, as we receive the lost ones that he brings home, as we feed on what he gives us, as we trust his good work with us and through us in the world, we feel his joy. We share in it, the joy of reconciliation, of restoration, of redemption, of the kingdom growing and growing and growing. And lastly, the last quality of a good shepherd is that he leads one flock. The good shepherd has one flock, just one. Perhaps that sounds surprising, since there are many, many congregations and denominations around the world who worship Jesus. It may sound surprising since many of these congregations don't agree on theology or practice of Christian faith. Some encourage military service as part of the outworking of their faith, and some encourage non-participation in that as an outworking of their faith. Some baptize infants, some baptize adults. Some hold to predestination and some emphasize free will. Some partake in communion, believing it is the actual body and blood of our Savior, and some believe it is simply a symbol. Even in our own small congregations, there can be division over belief and practice and politics and any number of things. From our perspective, there appears to be such division and very little unity. Our good shepherd says this: "My sheep listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd." Our unity is not found in our varying doctrines and practice and perspectives and rituals. Our unity is found in one place, in Jesus and his voice. As we focus on him, as we listen to him and follow him, we will find that unity will come. I believe that. Perhaps many of our arguments and divisions happen when we try to take on, once again, the role of shepherd in the lives of one another. Let me shepherd these Quakers over here to my Baptist flock. Let me shepherd this unbeliever into my church. Let me shepherd this Calvinist into my way of thinking. It's tempting, isn't it? I've been tempted by that. But what if instead of trying to shepherd people ourselves into the flock that we think is the correct one, what if we sat down and together looked at the life and teachings of Jesus, that one good shepherd? What if we talked about him, listened to his words, listened to each other engage his words, asked one another about how Jesus found us when we were lost, how he has healed us, how he has shepherded us into more Christ-likeness, how he healed us when we were broken, how he redeemed us when we were caught in sin? What if we focused on that when we were together? We might find that in the joy of dwelling with the Good Shepherd, in looking at his life and his love and his words and his teachings and his actions, that we find more unity than division. And perhaps we will also begin to anticipate the day when there is one flock under one good shepherd. So the six qualities that we looked at today: the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd never abandons his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep intimately, and they know him. They recognize his voice. The good shepherd seeks and saves the lost ones and brings them home. The good shepherd rejoices over his sheep and invites us to rejoice as well. And the good shepherd brings unity under his care and his voice. Which one of those qualities stands out to you today? How does it impact you? And how can you hang on to that this week? Dear sheep, Jesus loves you. He freely lays down his life for you in so many ways. He will never abandon you. He knows you well, and he knows what you need. He will bring the lost home and invite you to rejoice with him in that. And he will lead you into unity with all your brothers and sisters. He is our good shepherd. Let's pray.